All right, let's get her going on our national hour, the real Kipper and Bourne. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A few minutes, we'll welcome in Marty Turco.
Should we do more Leafs talk in the national hour?
No, people we shall not.
People loved that yesterday, so we should do more.
Wherever you are, wherever you're watching and listening, Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, thanks for joining us. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. As I said, former NHLer, Marty Turco, does a terrific job now. Special assistant to the president of the Dallas Stars. Mm-hmm. As we get ready for Stars Avalanche.
You know what else we're getting ready for tonight? The NHL Draft Lottery.
Oh, right.
That's tonight. And so, that is going to be a very exciting...
Are you covering that? Are you doing anything?
No, not tonight. I am going to be on alternate nights from the Edmonton-Vancouver series. I'll be on the television.
Which game?
Boston, Florida, with Carolyn Cameron and Sam Cosentino.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. NHL Draft Lottery odds, number one pick, San Jose Sharks, 25.5% chance of landing Macklin Celebrini, followed by Chicago, Anaheim, Columbus, Montreal, then Utah. Oh, then Ottawa, too. Another exciting name in there. The Flames have a 5% chance. The Sabres have the longest odds, 3%, but they do have a chance.
Montreal
is
8.5.
Yeah, they're 8.5, fifth. That would be a
they're
big deal.
Sweet spot.
Big deal.
Our friend from down south, I think we've had him on our show before, John Bouchagross.
Hey, Bucci.
Yeah.
Learned my book. Good dude.
Yeah. We should have him on again.
He tweeted
out we have arrived in New Jersey for tonight's festivities, 6:30 Eastern. And he tweeted out a picture of a board with like results on it.
Yeah.
So everyone's going nuts about it, obviously. Yeah. San Jose was the first overall pick. Salt Lake, whatever they're going to be called, was second overall.
Really?
Yeah. Chicago third. They're clearly just rehearsing, but it's got people all hot and bothered. So, I'm really hoping that, I don't know, like Chicago gets another one here.
You want Chicago to get it? 13.5?
I don't know if I want them to get it, but I just kind of feel like they're going to.
We should. The worst case scenario for me is like Anaheim or Columbus.
Everybody's going to scream fixed again now. That's not. If Chicago gets it,
the league could use it.
I kind of feel like they're going to get it. There's two things that Two outcomes that people will scream fixed. Salt Lake getting number one.
Yes, they will. Montreal.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think Montreal?
No.
Get Slefkovsky, league? No.
I think Salt Lake, as a new franchise with the sexy new owner that everybody loves, and they get the first overall pick, that's one for me. And then Chicago getting it are the only two ones where people will be like, frozen envelope, it was fixed.
I think if I'm an Arizona Coyotes fan and the Utah Utes win the number one overall pick, I just eat a cactus. The whole thing, I just ingest it. I'm done with life.
You know what those Arizona Coyotes fans are like? Hockey? Four? They don't care.
They're sucking.
Yeah, those 10 guys will be so pissed.
They will be.
If they don't get the first pick, Utah, that owner's going to make a splash somewhere.
You think they're going to bring in a big name?
Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah, it's new owner syndrome.
Guaranteed.
Like, it happens all the time in sports.
Mitch Marner?
This guy's going to be...
Oh, boy.
Well, if you think about it, they've got assets, they've got prospects, and they got room. And that is the triple
dun,
combo.
And I remember something at the All-Star game of Matthews and Clayton Keller playing very well together. I don't know if they'd want to get rid of Clayton Keller. But.
Team grabs a good player, trades their best player.
Yeah, you don't trade for Marner and move Keller.
No.
I know.
Nice try.
By the way, thank you, Sammy. Gotta love Clayton Keller's career. Gets to play in Arizona as like a one handicap or whatever he is. Salt Lake City, beautiful place to play golf.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that about it.
Absolutely spectacular golf courses there.
Really?
And you can play, you know, they probably have a month or two you can't play in the winter, but...
Huh.
Yeah, he'll be happy.
I think it'd be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Place, mountains,
buddy,
golf.
You can ski and golf in the same day there. It's great.
Just can't drink.
Well, you can. You just got to be a member at the bar, pay your $10 fee, and pour your own drink.
Yeah. He knows.
I mean, hockey players don't like to drink, so they'll be fine.
I mean, you can get...
Listen, you can find anything. You can find anything you want.
Sundays, they tell you drive across straight state lines and bring it back.
Can you do beers in the locker room after? Do they still do beers in the locker room after the NHL?
I don't know where that would happen, yeah. I don't think so.
No?
No.
Okay.
How about the New York Islanders built a card and drinking room off their club, their dressing room while my dad was there? Like, it was like an add-on. They needed the drinking and cards room. Wife's just waiting outside.
How long has that been around?
It's not around anymore, but yeah, Nassau Coliseum, yeah.
That's incredible.
The guy's just coming out six beers in, just like...
their wife's like, what are they
in a parking lot? Did you ever see that one commercial where the guy's... the wife's waiting for the hockey player. He's come off, and he talks to her like he's being interviewed.
Yes, I have. It's an excellent commercial.
And she's like looking at him like he's got three heads. I'll be in the car.
Yeah.
I mean, if my wife would never come to one of my hockey games, but if she was waiting, it would be an extremely long wait. Like me in the dressing room after, that's the whole reason I go. Just to hang out after.
You love the shower.
The shower and hang out. That's the whole reason I go.
Anyway. All right, game one. What do we expect out of a Dallas-Colorado? This one's going to be one that could easily be a Stanley Cup final as well.
My worry is that both teams are too good and it's going to be very defensive hockey, but Colorado did just score 300 goals against the Winnipeg Jets, so maybe I can throw that theory out the window. It's going to be fast, tons of talent. This will be hockey at its finest. I'm really, really excited for this series.
Yeah, this will be the best second round series.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's interesting that, we've been talking in our first hour about coaching, of course, and, what happens with Sheldon Keefe, but going into that game seven, it was also Jim Montgomery's who was feeling the heat.
Yeah.
I was in Boston on the weekend, and there was a lot of people saying that guy will not survive with a game seven loss.
No.
Being one of the first to blow consecutive 3-1 series back to back. And I'm just wondering, as we welcome in Marty Charcuterie Board Turco to the Real Kipper and Bourne show.
Oh, God, what a day.
Look, we got you on Zoom. You got the shades, flowers in the background. And where's the charcuterie board? That's what I want to know.
Some prosciutto and, some goat cheese just for one today. Sorry.
Nice. Well, we appreciate you coming on our show and helping us tee up Colorado and Dallas. And just to maybe put a bow on it for us in that first round against Vegas, Marty, because there's so much on the line. We're just talking about coaches feeling the heat. Jim Montgomery, Sheldon Keefe in their game seven in the first round. But what about Peter DeBoer? Was he feeling it a little bit too in game seven?
Yeah, he was, but apparently the feelings were good. The guys was 7-0 coming in on game sevens and mopped up his old team.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a ton of pressure on a lot of these guys. And even though they seem to get the next job, no matter what, Pete's a great coach. He was under the gun, just, being first, playing against the Stanley Cup champs. They didn't really sneak into the playoffs, but they were one of the best teams that was playing in the tournament. And so going down two games, that was where the pressure was at. When you get to game seven, pressure's on everybody. You don't know what's going to happen. Bounces, who's going to score the big goal. And he makes a lineup change, and bam, he comes Roddick Fox and scores the game-winning goal. So he seemed to have all the right moves.
Marty, tell us a little bit about the Dallas Stars roster construction, because looking at the team from the outside, it seems like a bunch of near retirees and teenagers that are playing together on the same team. How are these young guys doing?
It's like
it?
A Big Brother program there, eh?
Yeah, we're just singing Kumbaya, holding hands. I used to have that kid. It's a Dallas Stars billet program, we call it down here. Hey, you know what? If we're gonna teach our young kids, we got some really good vets to do so. The Ryan Suter's, Benner, these guys have seen a lot. That the addition of Chris Tanev at the end, who's playing great hockey, he's got a lot of future in front of him. But he's a veteran, so we're good. But you're right, man. Our best players might be our youngest guys, man. Holy snikes! So the team construction is, this year was really fortunate for us to get Duchesne on that buyout to come in and really solidify our third, our second line, third line, whatever you want to call it. They kind of all seem to play collectively well and really boost Marchman and Tyler Seguin this year. Those guys have fantastic years. Mm-hmm. And obviously we have, Pavelski anchoring the, Drupe and Robo, but Wyatt Johnson, man. And even though during the year they had Dadonoff and Benner, and then Logan Stankoven comes along. I mean, these kids in the same draft, for a couple of years ago, if they're not already, they will be our two best players moving forward. We got a few more in the minors coming, so the billet program is alive and well here in Texas.
What makes a 20-year-old Wyatt Johnson so good, so special?
You know, that's a great question. He's got it all right, skill set. You know, he doesn't have blazing speed, but no one's catching him either. But he just has a knack for the big moments. He plays every shift hard. His eye-hand coordination and the way he digs that pucks is fantastic. He just got no quit in him. And clearly just coming straight from junior to the NHL, the kid's got a lot of moxie, you know, and he holds himself in high regard. And I think living at Joe Pavelski's house has helped him with his confidence. You know, when maybe nights he might be enjoying a, you know, another refreshment, if he's even legal here in this country, after at a steakhouse, he's playing video games, talking hockey. And, you know, Joe's the ultimate pro, so couldn't have went any better for us. But this guy just, you know, takes faceoffs, he blocks shots, penalty kills, power play. He's a big cog in our wheel. We're very fortunate to get him late in that first round a few years ago. And then, bam, second round gets Stankoven. So we feel good about what our hockey ops has done recently in constructing this team, not just the forwards, but adding Tanev at the deadline, having a great goalie tandem. You know, it's a pretty good recipe in the deepest pool I've ever seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I don't envy, you know, it's a hard tournament to win. It's harder than ever, I would think. Winning the West was great, but we got our work cut out for us. And hopefully home ice really has its advantages.
So you mentioned the goaltending. Maybe you could fill us in a bit on the roller coaster season that Jake Oettinger has had. You know, maybe the early part of the year wasn't up to expectations. In the first round, he's a .925 save percentage. He's fantastic, as to be expected. Tell us about his season.
Well, you know, most people, you know, don't recall nor care about, to be honest. He didn't skate much this summer. He had very limited ice time coming into camp. And I'd say the initial week, two, three, maybe even month, let's call it, was pretty good, actually. You know, he was in the Vezina, you know, talk early season, October, before American Thanksgiving. And then it slowed down, you know, missed some time in the net and just never really got it back. So the meat and potatoes part of the season wasn't what we would have liked, but still a top-notch goaltender. And as Darryl Rae eloquently puts it, you know, the kid has pedigree. He might not be playing like one of the best in the world at the moment, but he has pedigree. And that part we do know. And so that just gives you confidence knowing that even if you don't think we limped into the postseason based off goaltending save percentage, well, it really wasn't the case. Wedgie played great when you need to. Needed him to. I mean, at one point he played 10 games in a row, and the first eight were just spectacular. So, you know, we cut these guys some slack, and at the end of the day, you just need to perform in the playoffs. You need to get in the playoffs. They got us in, and now you need to play well in the playoffs. And so far, Jake's been great, particularly the second half of all the games. He has been nothing but the best goaltender in this tournament when you're talking about the latter half of the games.
Marty, as a goaltender, you must have such an appreciation for this time of year and what you guys have to go through to prepare to roll off a bad goal or a bad loss. You got Oettinger there. Swayman is off the charts in Boston. And, yeah. You know, they're all talented guys, Marty. But what is it about a goalie this time of year that stands up above anything else for you?
It just says a lot about, you know, what they have between the ears. Yeah, and you're right, Kipper. It's not easy. Every guy in this league, every guy in the AHL, most guys in junior, college, they're great goaltenders. They got the substance. They got the moves. They got size. They got something. And oftentimes, a lot of it. But this time of the year, you're right. It is difficult to be a duck and have that water roll off the back. It's just not the same. The people cheering a little louder. The lights are a little bit brighter. And, you know, those opportunities just – they don't just come and go. And when you think like that, but the guys who play well are playing well, that need to play well, you don't need to stay healthy, need to stay on top of their game, watching the Swaymans, even Bobrovsky. I just love the way the old guy moves still. You know, Jake here, he's cooler and calmer and big, the way he plays. You got to appreciate good goaltending. You just don't know when you're not going to have it. So when you have it, you got to ride it. And most importantly, these goaltenders give their team confidence. And even though the teams are good and they're, you know, they're expected to be, or they're expected to win all of them, I mean, this playoff's so tight that each goaltender gives their team, you know, a certain amount of confidence. The one that usually gives the most by making big saves at the right time or saves that they shouldn't. Those are the teams that, you know, usually end up passing on through. And unfortunately, this game's played too, guys, at a pace where there's more people in front of the net. There seems to be more shots coming from all over the place. That, you know, before, when if you had a good goaltender, a guy playing out of his mind, you could steal a game. And I just find it a little bit harder to steal games, but you got to make those saves that you need to make. You got to make some that you shouldn't, but you certainly can't let in that bad timely goal that really can cost your team a game and ultimately series. And if that's not pressure, I don't know what it was. That's the only thing I miss about playing hockey other than the boys. And it is a great time of year, and it's really good for the goaltenders.
Just on that thought, Marty, and what we've saw in the first round, I'm watching Nashville surround Saros. It's like watching five goalies on the ice. I'm watching Dallas in the last 8 minutes close out Vegas, and I'm watching the layers in front of Ottinger. Was that something that has evolved? I mean, was it that way when you played, where you had to go through eight pairs of legs before it got to you? Or is it, would you still prefer, hey, get the hell out of my way and let me see the puck?
Well, I always said, if you're going to blame me, you might as well let me see it. You know, if I can't see it, I can't stop it. But you really appreciate the guys making the sacrifice. And there's been plenty of awesome photos over the years of Stanley Cup finals and the playoffs with just four stacked up trying to block it and all willing to take it in the face. And that's what makes this sport, this tournament, the Stanley Cup, winning and putting over your head, why it's the greatest and the hardest. The guys are willing literally to do whatever they can. And you appreciate it as a goaltender. You know, it's they're willing to do it. Obviously, there's a little it looks like a lot of chaos sometimes, but there's some nuances to it. I think this shot blocking has gotten a bigger asset over the last 15, 20 years. And they just know, the statistics know, just getting in the way and stay tighter in there, keep the shots moving it, and then trying to create turnovers. But sacrificing is a huge part of our game. The guys do it to endless degree. We have to do it just by occupational trade, but we have a big mask on, big cup on, big shoulder pad, so we can handle it. And I'm in awe sometimes of these guys, how they do it. But from a goalie's perspective, you know, I like to see the puck make the save. I'll tell you, I really appreciate it. They always get a pat on the rear end for me after the game.
You know, a lot of us fans kind of play the results with goalies. They don't let in many. We give them credit or the opposite. Connor Hellebuyck, after the series against Colorado, he said in his interview, I was dialed. Like, I was in a flow state. I was feeling as good as I've ever felt in the net, and it just didn't go his way. I know sometimes as a player that happens, where you feel like it's going well and it won't go in, or you're playing bad and it comes to you. Does that happen for a guy?
Can you let in five every night and say I'm playing great?
That was a much shorter way to say it.
Can't say letting five like that. We lost some first round series we should have won, and I was like, man, I felt pretty good. That's like, it does happen. You know, we had shin pads from behind the net, overtime goals and stuff. So I really think, taking out of context a little bit, I think he was referring to his whole body of work, including the season where, you know, probably won the Vezina Trophy the year that he had. And saying that, I think deep down he believed it. Like, I was moving great, I was tracking it good, and sometimes he just, even over a seven-game series, you get smoked. And these guys are pretty good, too. The other guys don't get credit. Colorado was fine, guys. They were awesome. They deserved to win that series. I'm not sure how much, you know, Connor could have did, to be honest. I think he was being honest. I don't think it was just a fluff piece or some, you know, personal marketing to go make sure he gets that Vezina, because it's just a tough game. That's why he plays it. So when he does get beat, that big guy, he's usually in the right spot at the right time. And, you know, he's not making split saves that often. So when they just – when they get around him and a bunch of rebound goals and back doors, it's like, you know, I do believe him, but I don't envy his position. I understand the climate and temperatures in, especially being in Canada.
I know as a goaltender for Jake Ottinger, he's focusing on all the shooters here, but man, it goes a long way if you can shut down Nate MacKinnon and Cale Makar. As a goaltender in your day, when you faced top teams, how much was a focus on one or two guys compared to the rest of the team? And who did you fear? Who was your fear? Who were you fearful in a series?
Well, you got to think, like, just this series alone, it was a big rival of ours back in, you know, early in my career from, you know, 99 to 2000. We played them two more times, Sakic, Forsberg, right? These guys, but they also had Drury and Hayduke and, you know, a lot of other great, talented guys. And so you just kind of, I mean, Sakic shot it so good and passed it so well. And Forsberg was just a bear on skates. I just look forward to it, honestly. And I can't say they really owe me, but they just made you better because they made you just, you know, go to bed 10 minutes earlier, wake up middle of the night thinking about it. And you were had tension and you were nervous. And you just know over your career, you're like, you're tense because you cared and you're nervous because you mattered to you and you cared about your teammates and your fans. You wanted to win. So playing against those guys, and then, you know, we had Solani and, you know, we had Getzlaff and Perry and Anaheim in the playoffs. Those guys were fantastic. But the only guy I had my number and I was like, I don't know where he was shooting. It was Datsyuk. And I'm not even sure if he did score one or two of me in the 08 playoffs. He beat us in the conference finals. But I really enjoyed it. I love knowing that. And so for our goalie, I think the speed guys, you got to really know when they're on the ice because you just got to be a step ahead. You got to be outside a little bit quicker coming back, especially the way I played. But Cale Makar, like, how do you really plan for him? He's always coming from the back end. You know, gets a pike, he dances the blue line, he comes down the boards, he's shooting, he's passing, he flies. It's hard to prepare for him, but I always, you know, I always knew when he got like that was on the ice. And I think that is the most important thing. And nonetheless, just being ready to rock. And for Jake's sake, you know, we got Miro Heiskanen, and Miro's as talented as he is offensively. He's very underrated defensively. And so he'll do a number on McKinnon in my books. And as a goaltender, that just gives me added confidence knowing that my best player is going to handle theirs.
Marty, last one for me. Just if they were to get through this series, it's possible they would play Connor McDavid. You know, that's a different type of animal that you're talking about. Would you ever watch video, or would the teams now watch video for a goaltender on, hey, here's some of the things guys like this do?
Yeah, you can. And I mean, you certainly have to. We'll watch video on everybody. And I mean, there's enough video in the United States of Connor McDavid. Just watch some commercials, NHL Network. You're going to see it all. He's flying. He's good. He's fun to watch. Again, back to the Miro effect. But adversely, on the video part, sometimes when you watch video and you see tendencies or you expect something, it just takes you out of your reaction moment. And so you just put the work in. You know, in the back of your mind that there's something where you might load a little extra or take a step back or take a step in that guy's a passer and that shot's coming, or this guy's got to move. You know, for me, it was a quick poke check just to defend something. But sometimes that video can be more like paralysis by analysis. And so it's a fine line you walk. You get those nuances in the day. You get out there, you're like, hey, I'm ready to go. I trust myself. And I think Jake's well prepared. We'll be in good hands tonight against Colorado.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's 9:30 Eastern puck drop, Colorado and Dallas. Hey, Marty, great stuff, man. Hey, keep enjoying the playoff weather.
I can see the pool light shimmering on the tree. Looks great.
Maybe take a plunge in the pool.
He's gone. We lost him. He's swimming. Frozen. He's swimming. Yeah. He dropped his laptop in the pool.
That was perfect freeze timing right there on our Zoom call.
Yeah.
What do you think?
We haven't had any freezes all year.
No.
It's been hot this year.
Now you kabuki. Well,
we're going to use that word from now on.
real kabuki and bored?
Yeah. Replaceable for.
Who do you like in this series?
I like Dallas.
I like hockey.
Yeah, I do think that Dallas is really tough to beat. They're just so solid all over, and so many weapons. I know Colorado has the top-end guys, but that's going to be a tough Dallas team to beat.
Just fun listening to Marty talk about facing Colorado in his day with Sakic and Forsberg and
Hey Duke. How about Adam Deadmarsh? He was really good.
Like, Tanguay is super underrated.
So good.
You know, we know McKinnon takes all the credit, but like, how about this Nikushkin again?
Yeah.
Beast mode
on fire again.
I only had 7 in the first round.
Like,
did the Leafs have 7 combined?
Almost.
You know, we know Rantanen as well, but Lekkonen, what a pickup he's been since they brought him in from Montreal. And Mittelstadt, he had a heck of a series first round.
I was a little tough on him.
There's some guy that tweets us like every day, be like, did you see Mittelstadt? I'm like, God, we didn't even talk about that much.
I'll take a good defenseman over a good forward anytime.
Yeah.
They're just harder to find.
Yeah.
And they can be more impactful, but Mittelstadt's held his own.
Yeah, he's been good. And this Colorado depth, I like Miles Wood, big and fast. Colton is mean. Yakov Trenin can hit. Duhame is big. Like, I like their depth guys a lot. So
the other thing, too, is, as Winnipeg found out, like, that blue line is much more than just Cale Makar.
Devin Taves, Sam Girard, Josh
Taves,
Manson,
Taves,
Walker.
And Manson had a heck of a series.
Yeah.
But at Taves, the moment he left the Islanders.
It's bad trade.
They got two seconds.
Didn't help.
For him,
bad trade.
That was a terrible trade.
Yeah, terrible trade. Terrible.
You mean 2 second round picks for Canada's top pairing defenseman was a bad idea?
Yeah, I do mean that.
That was one that got away from Lou.
And also, don't you love, he was, who is he sassing off this year on his own team? That we got some problems in this room or something like that?
Right.
Like he was so competitive, right?
There's some guys that think they're working hard here and they have no idea what hard work is or something like that. Like he was.
You know, he's a guy who'll speak up.
Lekkonen's dad said something, I think.
They had like a little Finnish dad.
But that involved Rantanen at some point.
Yeah, it was. It was Lekkonen's dad was a media guy in Finland.
Yes.
And he was like burying Rantanen or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they had a couple weeks in Colorado where they were in the news.
Yeah.
All right, we got a little game time, Sammy, or you want to go to break?
I was just looking at the stars. Like what you said to Turco is great. It made me laugh very hard about like the borderline out of the league and teenager guys.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating roster construction.
Very few mid-20s players.
It's very, very cool. And like
on off days, I think like the old guys pick up the young guys to take them to the park.
Yeah. It's Duchesne and Sagan and Ben and Pavelski, you know, Suter, old guys.
I'm wondering now, like, if going 7 against Vegas might have, you know, the wear and tear on the older guys.
It helps you in the short term. It doesn't help you in the long term. I do think it helps you getting into
Will it catch up?
Kind of like the Bruins.
Yeah, the Bruins.
Where they came in hot.
Rolled over Florida feeling, you know, you're used to that intensity, and it's much easier to find that level again. I think it's harder when you've been, I don't know, eating grapes for a week or whatever people do when they relax.
Eating grapes?
Isn't that like an old grapes, thing? I don't know.
Yeah, you're kabuki, pal. All right, it's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app's latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I was just really interested to see what the win for the Boston Bruins did last night in that series. So I went to the series correct score here. Florida Panthers to win in 7 games is the favorite here now, which is surprising to me because if we had looked at this beforehand, I'm sure that would have been far from the favorite. I'm sure in 5 or 6 would have been probably the favorite. So Florida to win in 7 games is +320 now on Bet365. You can get the Bruins to win in 6 at +450. You can get go ahead.
Sorry, what's Florida gentleman's sweep?
Great question.
Loss followed by 4 straight wins.
That's a great question. It is +600.
It's not enough for me.
No, but to me, that is definitely one where they got caught a little bit by a hot team coming in. So I thought that was interesting to look at. We're going to talk more about Edmonton and Vancouver coming up after this here, but Edmonton to win in 6, as I'm looking here, is the favorite, according to Bet365. Edmonton in 6.
Edmonton does come in as the favorite, no question, but I think this one's going to be close.
I think it depends. They're talking about Demko possibly being ready for games like 5, 6, 7 where they needed, which...
Well, we'll see where the kid is at.
Yeah,
you're
going to find out it's Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
So I think
every once in a while there could be some magic.
The Preds, I don't think the Oilers defend like the Preds do, but the Preds don't score like the Oilers do.
No one does.
It's a different animal. So
there were signs from the LA Kings that there were pockets in that series that they could push Edmonton.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
So I think Vancouver will push.
And just looking at the two games tonight, the Carolina Hurricanes are favorites at Madison Square Garden, -125. If you're liking the Rangers, great odds.
The Rangers win the President's Trophy. Yep. They win game one. They're at home, and they're underdogs.
+105 for the Rangers. So plus money on the Rangers at home
really
in game 2.
Carolina.
The dorks at Bet365 are like, them.
Dorks love the Canes. They play in the offensive zone. They get a ton of shots.
And for the late game, Colorado is a +100 underdog. So just, you know, double your money there. And the Dallas Stars are -120. So even matchup there, and going to be an excellent series that I cannot wait to watch. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play it responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into some news and notes. We got some sound from Paul Maurice on Jeremy Swayman, Chris Knobloch, head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, and some news out of the LA Kings and Rob Blake. All right, that and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcast.
Two games on tap tonight. Carolina at the Rangers, 7 o'clock puck drop. Colorado and Dallas. And last night, kind of surprising.
Was. Yes.
Kinda.
Sammy's convinced now that maybe the Leafs aren't so bad.
I don't know. Swayman's a monster.
He is a monster.
He is. He's got that kind of Tim Thomas feel for Boston. What year did they win?
Yeah. Great observation. Evan.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that draw.
That's a good one.
That's Draisaitl, right?
Great
observation.
Yes,
yeah. Great observation.
Yeah.
He's so confident, like insanely confident, and that helps. Florida, you know, maybe not quite ready to jump back into that playoff pace, but...
You got it. It's almost, 10 days off?
Yeah,
what was that?
It's a lot of time.
Yeah,
a lot of time.
Didn't hurt that Mason Lowry and Brandon Carlo put two right off the bottom of the bar.
Lowry's starting to really look like a good defenseman to me.
I think I wrote you guys in our group chat he's going to get like lit up cheating or something, and that hasn't happened.
He's carrying the puck like Bobby Orr some shifts.
Yeah.
Whoa.
There's
just because he's wearing black and gold doesn't mean he's Bobby Orr, kid.
But there is
he's standing out to me.
He's going to have to recalibrate this risk reward meter of his. he's very confident too.
Let me tell him he's Lowry, not Bobby.
He's talented as hell.
But Carlo, I saw that he had a kid in between the two series.
Yeah,
he showed up day of,
and then he goes back in and goes bar down in the game one win.
Round two, yeah,
that's awesome.
That is.
I mean.
Awesome for you. Yeah,
it's great.
And the other thing,
everything's great.
Florida's defense, like, uncharacteristic. Bad night. Ekblad, bad night.
A lot of middle of the ice for the...
Who had the best plus minus all
Forsling?
Year? Forsling?
Mm-hmm.
By a country mile? Mm-hmm. What was he, -3?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not great, though.
No. So... That's the one benefit of the doubt, but
you guys want to hear?
Now it's almost like a must win, is it not, for Florida, second game at home?
Do you want to hear a really sour Paul Maurice talk about Jeremy Swayman?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Swayman obviously came into this series feeling good about his game. What's it going to take to maybe disrupt what he's doing out there?
Well, you're not getting a bad goalie, but I hope I pronounced it right, Vasilevsky. He wasn't bad. Good goaltender series, so it's not... If you do it right, you get 7. Doesn't work like that. He made some really nice saves. We missed some things around the net.
He was quick
to respond.
Immediately sour.
Yeah, when you like almost interrupt with a yup.
Yeah.
Halfway through.
Yeah.
Yup.
Yup.
Yup. Yup.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
Pal. No,
okay, buddy.
Forsling plus 56.
Plus 56.
Plus 56 for the season. Second was DeMello at 46.
DeMello?
Dylan DeMello.
Carl DeMello?
That's pretty good.
All right.
Ekholm, plus 44, but like -3. I bet you didn't have a -3 all year.
Yeah, that's unusual. Ekblad maybe not having a great night probably contributes to that somewhat. So it's going to be a good series. Want to do Canucks Edmonton? Want to go in? Want to pick it apart?
Yes.
Let's talk about how during the regular season, the Vancouver Canucks kind of owned the Oilers.
Yes.
Did they not?
They did. I think they swept them.
Early in the year.
Oh, they won 8-1 in the opening game.
Early in the year.
They had two.
It was like a shocker.
Yeah.
And then it was like, nah, it's just a one-off.
And then they did it again.
Then they did it again in Edmonton.
And then they threw Jay Woodcroft out of the building immediately after. Let's listen to Chris Knobloch, who had thoughts on the regular season series versus the Canucks.
You know, it's in the past, but obviously when the series has been as lopsided as it was, that we need to address some things and change some things. You know, we were swept in this series and outscored pretty badly. So it'd be pretty naive saying that we didn't need to change anything and everything's smoothly and we're just going to play the Vancouver Canucks how we played. So we do have some adjustments that we need to address and try and limit their strengths. But, yeah, we'll see how we do on that.
I will say that people are going into this, and I think there's a lot of, you know, thought that Edmonton's just going to kill Vancouver.
Oh, it's the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Generals.
I don't agree. I think these are divisional matchups, and like these guys, they play each other. They're not going to, you know, they beat them four times in a row. I don't really think that means a ton. But like, you know, it's a regular season.
One team has to slow down the other team.
Of course. But
and you do that by
they
making
played
it.
Each other all the time. These guys know each other. It's a divisional matchup. Like, I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. I really do.
Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think the Oilers are going to handle their business pretty.
Five?
Yeah.
Really?
That's I do.
Fast
no,
as
I
five.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Here, you know,
somebody in seven to me.
Since Knobloch took over, the Oilers are the best team in the NHL. Just so Canucks fans know, I'm not being hard on them. This Oilers team has mopped up everybody since then, essentially. Mm. You know, they score goals. Their power play scores goals at like an absolutely absurd rate.
Can't take many penalties. That's
no,
for
you
sure.
Can't take many penalties, and Vancouver has to slow Edmonton down. They have to keep the goal totals down. They want to play a slog. Yeah.
A rope-a-dope,
slow, and they don't have Demko. You know, I know the Shelovs might be great, but they don't have one of the guys that makes them special. Pettersson, since the All-Star break, I think he had 13 points, maybe like a goal and 12 assists or something like that. Yeah. He really struggled, and in the first round looked off.
It's going to take like a Binnington kind of feel that like something special is going on here.
And he missed practice today too,
with Shelovs.
With an illness. Sick, yeah.
Illness.
So he missed the skate.
Illness is a touchy word around here.
Yeah. He's got an illnery or an injureness. We have no idea what it is.
Injureness.
But so, you know, then you look at the Oilers who just added players, got better. They, you know, they
Henrique.
Had guys. Yeah.
He might not play. I don't think he's going to play. So
he's
injured too. So
okay.
I just think that it's going to, I'm not just pandering to my beloved Vancouver. I do think this is going to be a series.
And I want to be wrong. I want it to be a series, but listen, I'm an analyst here. I don't see what they're in tough.
They're in tough.
But Knobloch and Paul Coffey have done a nice job of at least settling down that blue line too. And Evan Bouchard, we know he's a very gifted player offensively, but it was challenged in his own zone. He's much more quiet now. Never going to be a stellar guy, but
who did we have on that questioned him? I forget who it was, but maybe it wasn't even here. Maybe it was a private conversation.
Books, maybe
I don't remember anything.
Know.
But I remember
just sewering it off the record.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't give him much credit in his own zone. That's for sure. There's some games I watched earlier in the year. I'm like, did he just let that guy get the puck off of him?
Well, we talk about underrated guys for, you know, like we always talk about who are the classic underrated guys.
Oh, Barkov. You ever heard of him?
Yossi.
Yeah.
You know, all the classic ones. I actually think Ekholm is underrated as, like, one of the best guys in the league. Like,
I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys something. I had him fifth on my Norris Trophy ballot this year.
He's unbelievable. Love him.
All these years in Nashville, he was always, like, the third banana there.
Right. Oh, they had Weber and Subban and Yossi, and it was always...
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if it's one thing that Kenny Holland did...
Nailed it.
It was getting this guy. This guy was the difference.
Yeah.
Outbidding other teams, whatever. He was absolutely the key to saving this season for the Edmonton Oilers, in my opinion.
He's Jake Muzzin, if Jake Muzzin could play. You know, the bearded, zone-defending, steady guy that, you
He's got a presence.
Yeah.
And a leadership presence, too. And every time he speaks, you're like, I want to hear that guy.
Here is where the Oilers could go off the rails. And to me, that second pair of CeCe and Nurse... is going to make some mistakes. You know, if you're the Canucks have enough offense that they can expose
them down, though.
Yeah.
They have.
The keeper pretty simple.
Yes.
I still think it's a risk.
Well, that's where if Vancouver can expose them a little bit.
And then obviously Skinner. Skinner is not by any means, you know, Jake Ottinger or whoever else we've talked about as he's Swayman type. He's not in that class. He's good. But, you know, it's not like Vancouver's not going to get opportunities. They are. But, yeah, you just, I mean, Hyman had like 60 goals this year. You know, and he's like your fourth or fifth most concerning guy on the Oilers.
Yeah, for sure.
Fogel scores. You know, well, I mean, he's decent. McLeod, Perry, Holloway, Brown. Their depth is pretty good, too.
I'm picking Canucks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
An outright picking them.
Yeah, I'm going to pick them.
Like,
I think they're going to shock the world here. I might even bet on it.
I like that. I like what you're doing.
That'd be a shock.
Yeah.
For sure.
That'd be a big shock.
For sure. But that's what we do, baby. Shock value. Well, shock jock action for you. I'm picking them.
All right. A few in our earlier hour of our show, we spoke of where Sheldon Keefe's future is. Craig Berube, we've mentioned. Some news and notes around Drew Bannister signs a 2-year contract to remain the Blues head coach. Went 30-19-5 after replacing Berube. Early for you, I mean, there's still some moving parts. We saw Ottawa tie up Travis Green. Is this Doug Armstrong looking around going, I can't do anything better than Drew Bannister. Let's sign him right now.
You know, I do think there's a thing where we fall in love with name coaches, and I don't know that they're necessarily better than someone who just coaches the system and does a good job and isn't necessarily a celebrity to go along with it. So maybe Drew Bannister is that. Maybe he's a great coach. It feels cheap, right? When it's a guy you haven't heard of and they're like, didn't they want to get one of the guys, the bigger names? But I know we just recycle the same coaches so often. If they like the guy, then go ahead with the guy who had some success with your team.
Yeah, I think if you fire a guy midseason like they did with Berube, and then you have a guy that's been in your, like, how, I think he was the coach of their AHL team for a few years, wasn't he? I want to say, because
so.
Yeah, like Springfield, that's their team. So he was a, yeah, what it is.
Put me on, what's their East Coast League team?
Don't know, yeah. But I know what their AHL team is for some reason, but. I think it's an easier sell when he was there for half the season and they had some good success and the guys might like him and it's just an easy one.
The one thing I hate about that, I always hate the hire the guy who was on the bench because if he had any new ideas, could he not have saved them or shared them with the head coach?
No, like, because he needed him fired.
Well, that's it. It's like, if you had solutions, what were you doing before? So I've never liked the bring, you know, just hire the guy who was already on the bench move personally, but.
Blues are a weird. You look at that cat-friendly page, and you're just like, I don't know what the direction. That's if I'm Treliving.
They look stuck in the middle to me.
If I'm Treliving, I'm picking up the phone about Pareko again this offseason, for sure.
You need to get him a backiotomy, too?
No, he's not that. He's okay.
Just worry about his back.
Other news around the league when it comes to coaches and managerial jobs. We heard from Rob Blake. There was some noise out there that maybe the heat was on Rob Blake. Whether or not he deserves to come back or not, He's back.
Not going to buy it.
It's a big market. LA is a big market from a revenue, I think, driven point of view for the league. But it's not that big of a market for the coverage there. And whoever is covering them out there, a lot of them are scratching their heads that, A, either Rob Blake coming back or this talk about buying out Pierre-Luc Dubois,
and
which
what is that
had
contract?
To be brought to attention here, because how do you sign up, I don't know, what was it, $60 million contract?
Yeah.
And then bail on it in 12 months? Like, who does that?
8.5 times 7? Is that right?
Who does that?
I hope no one. I mean, I can't believe, like, I was going through Sportsnet.ca looking for stuff, like, to talk about news and notes. I saw that as a headline. I'm like, how is this a conversation?
Yeah.
It's like that. He had to clarify that. He had such a bad season that how old is he? Like 28?
Dubois is.
And it was 68, I
25.
Think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Dubois is 25? So it's like he's been on 10 teams already.
It's in the prime of his career, and he just signed a 1-year, sorry, 8-year deal.
68 million.
Crazy.
2 years ago, he had 60 points, then 63, you know, almost 30 goals in both seasons. Boy, what
yeah,
a tough.
Just move on.
I mean, they were a good team. He's -9. He gets 16 goals in 82 games this year.
For 8.5 schmil?
That's not what you sign up for.
No.
Jim Hiller came in and finished the season there. I get the sense that he might be in that similar situation as Sheldon in Toronto, where it's like, we'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
It might be pointing in the direction that he could be back as a permanent guy, but someone mentioned to me that they might be inquiring on Craig Berube.
Another option for Chief.
There's Jersey out there that's looking for a coach. There's possibly LA sniffing. There's the Leafs sniffing.
It's going to be a bunch of
it's
teams.
It's a good time to be Craig Berube, I can tell you.
Yeah, he's going to be rich.
I remember this was the Babs fiasco when it was, you know, he was seen in Buffalo and you know, the whole thing. We're doing that for Berube, are we?
That's not Craig Berube's style.
No,
I assure you. Yeah. Babcock would have loved that.
Well, I'm going to tell you the difference in the ego between the two guys, having spoken to both of them.
Well, I was reminded hearing Luke Fox today talk about how Babs left and said Mike Babcock's always going to bet on Mike Babcock.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny, just like from a producer standpoint, you know, when we booked Craig Berube on the show and he was the head coach of the Blues, I got in touch with like the PR guy and they're like, oh, yeah, why are you telling me? Here's his number.
Text him.
Okay, like, you know, it's like that. As soon as I said, I was like, okay, that's rare.
Yeah.
And I texted him, he's like, yeah, sure. Mm. Okay.
So, didn't Jim Montgomery, after game 7 defeating the Leafs, mention that he got a call from
Babs?
Babs?
He did. So I had this conversation. I did Calgary and radio Coop. This morning.
And Coop.
And my point was, like, what could that call possibly have consisted of?
I don't know.
Like, it's not like some tactical, like, switch a system.
Hey, go get him.
Well, like, you know, like, what do you think he said? Like,
started good tonight.
You know, like.
Whose phone did he steal to get the number?
Oh. I think he would have, I mean, big time Babcock impression coming up here. They'll beat themselves. He's going to start on time. They'll beat themselves.
I mean, that's
started good tonight.
Started good.
That's what it would consist of.
Those guys are chokers. They'll beat themselves. I was right about everything. Hangs up. He was right. That's the problem.
Minus the phones thing.
Yeah, weird. The phone thing's bad.
He's wrong about that.
Very wrong.
I got to think he still wants in.
Who?
Babs.
To where?
The league.
You know
oh
what?
Oh my God.
Columbus
you're nuts.
Was the perfect fit for him. It was perfect. It
you're
was
nuts.
You don't think he wants to coach anymore? That's what I'm saying. He wants in.
You can't. You would never.
I want to be a member at St. George's, pal, but it's not going to happen.
Based on finances,
you're Sam McKee from the Real Kipper and Bourne show.
You'll get famous enough.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll be at Lakeview, pal, till I'm 50.
That's kind of quiet, too. Columbus is kind of quiet.
Yeah, that's 2 days in a row mentioned Columbus. We can't do it. It's playoffs.
Yeah, we can.
No.
They exist. They're real. They're a franchise, apparently. Well, tonight they could get the number one overall pick, and all of a sudden we'll have to follow them because Macklin Celebrini will be dishing it or getting it from Goodrow because Lord knows. Goodrow doesn't shoot it.
That's right. NHL draft tonight.
So who's your pick for who's getting first? Your pick.
I'd like to see it go to Chicago.
Wow.
I would. Because San Jose, I'll be honest, guys. I just, that team's not going to be good for 6 years.
Yeah.
They're so bad. So bad.
I know. But they got to start somewhere and the league's got to bring them back to like,
Being a team.
Yeah, being
but
an
I
actual
don't
NHL
have to
team.
I watch that as all. At least if he's on Chicago, I also get
they're
to watch Bedard.
By 10 p.m. You're not watching them.
No, you're right. It's another reason for him to be in Chicago.
Is there some connection with the Sharks? Like his dad was involved with the Sharks?
His dad worked for Golden State.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So it's like the Bay Area or whatever. That's
Loose tie.
David Sisboomba buzzed in my ear and said that he grew up and played minor hockey there.
Oh,
so
really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Maybe he wants to go to the Sharks.
I think it's going
to
be Salt Lake City. That gets it. I think they're going to rig it and get Salt Lake a first overall pick for their sexy new owner.
$1.2 billion. Here's Macklin Celebrini. Start selling some sweaters.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy. If they get Celebrini, Utah's not in a position to make any money on it. They don't have
no jerseys.
Oh, you got to get a jersey. Yeah, you're right.
They got to have something ready for tonight.
What
Ryan,
are they
going
to do
tonight? Listening? Ryan Smith?
What are they going to do tonight?
You get a logo by 8 p.m. tonight.
Do they got a soccer team there? What are they, a Jazz? You can get it on Jazz jerseys.
Jazz jerseys. And they're nice, Jazz jerseys.
They're jerseys.
Yeah.
Sleeveless hockey shirt.
Well, that was off the rails, boys.
Yeah. Real solid.
All right. Sweater. Our thanks to Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca and Marty Turco helped us tee up Dallas and Colorado. Two games on tap. Rangers and Carolina start in about a little over an hour. Enjoy your game tonight. We're back tomorrow on Real Kipper and Boyd.
Oh, 1 hour, 5 to 6 tomorrow.
That's a producer for you. Good job, Sammy. Have a great night, everybody.